turn in the Word of God to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. Let's hear the Word of the living God as it is found in Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Steadfast in the liberty of Christ. That is what we call to be, steadfast in the liberty of Christ. Let us hear the Word of the living God as it's found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. This is the Word of God. You are to build your life on the rock. And the rock is? Christ. Jesus is the rock. We mustn't build our life on the sand of humanism, on the sand of human effort. We build on the rock of God's Word, not on the shifting sands of politics and peer pressure. Put on the whole armor of God.
Yeah.
And what is the first item of the full armor of God you must put on? The belt of truth. The belt of truth. Truth is one of the most important weapons in our arsenal. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Amen.
We are living in an age of deception. We're living in an age of confusion. We're living in an age of distraction. We must not allow ourselves to be deceived. Be not deceived is a command given over and over in the Bible. We read in the Bible that Satan is deceiving the nations. We read that at the end, God will send an angel to bind Satan so that he might deceive the nations no more. The nations are being deceived by Satan now. Time and again in Revelation you read, Satan is deceiving the nations. So, if you find yourself in agreement with the world, if you find yourself agreeing with the world on any of the big narratives the world is giving, billions of years, evolution, safe sex, free love, abortion, COVID-19, the COVID cult, you must be saved by vaccination, salvation by vaccination, trust in the government, believe in COVID, get the vaccination, it's like your baptism certificate, into this new cult of COVID. You must wear the masquerade, you must take part in the masquerade as an identifiable symbol that you're a believer in the COVID cult. And if you're following the world, if you find yourself in agreement with the world on any of the narratives that the world is giving, and there's a lot of lies out there. They lie about everything. Politics, economics, origins, biology, you name it. Science, theology, the deceptions of the world. Hollywood, we know they deceive us a lot. Hollywood is a blasphemy industry. They have popularized blasphemy, pornography, perversion, and all kinds of evils. We should not want to be friends of the world. Whoever makes himself a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. If we want to be true children of God, we cannot be at peace with the world. We cannot be at one with the world. We cannot believe what the world believes. We cannot do what the world does. We cannot say what the world says. We're different. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Notice what Romans 12 verse 1 says, not by the removal of your mind, by the renewing of your mind, that we may be able to test what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take up the shield of faith with which you'll be able to put out all the fiery darts of the wicked one. With our feet shod with the preparation of gospel peace, eager to share the gospel. And yet, how many Christians have given up evangelism over the last 18 months of lockdown lunacy, COVID cult, pandemic panic, plandemic propaganda, scamdemic, panic mongering, fear mongering? But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has not called us to be cowards. God has called us to be bold and to be brave and to be proclaiming His gospel with our feet shod with the readiness of the gospel of peace. And yet how many churches, how many ministries, how many Bible colleges around this country and around the world have shut down, have allowed themselves to be sidelined and silenced and shut down over the last 18 months in the name of fighting a virus. It is never about our health. It's about control. It's advancing a communist, globalist, New World Order agenda. You know what communism is? Communism is government by committee. Communism is government by the state. Soviet is a word for committee. And so the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics means it was a union of socialist republics which were run by committees. The French Revolution was governed by committee. The Committee for Public Safety, that's what they call it. The chairman was Maximilian Robespierre. What did the Committee for Public Safety decide? Who would be guillotined today? The Committee for Public Safety. What a dishonest name, but that's the way the world is. They use dishonest terms. They speak about health care. Drugs are not health care. Toxic poisons being injected into your veins is not health care. Health care is breathing fresh air. That's the first thing you need for health, is fresh air. Second, you need pure, clean water. Thirdly, you need good, healthy food. Fourthly, you need regular exercise. And fifthly, you need a positive attitude. That's health care. If you want to be healthy, breathe fresh oxygen, drink fresh, clean, pure water, eat healthy food, exercise regularly, and have a positive attitude, which actually only a real Christian can do. To think on these things which are excellent and praiseworthy and noble and true, meditate on these things. God will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And so, as Christians, we must not worry about anything. We must pray about everything. We need to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. We are not to live in fear. But through fear, the world's media, Hollywood, the mainstream or lamestream media, the disinformation campaigns, and many so-called schools of the Ministry of Disinformation, where they are involved in indoctrination more than education. Education is teaching people how to think critically. Indoctrination is teaching people what to think. And right now, a lot of our schools are not giving education, they're giving indoctrination. And if you dare to disagree, they accuse you of a thought crime and try to shut you down. You know that when you're not allowed to have another opinion, you're not dealing with education, you're dealing with indoctrination. Dealing with lies and deception. Why would they deplatform a highly respected medical doctor like Dr. Suzanne Fosloo? Dr. Susan Fosloo, she is the first woman heart transplant specialist. She did the first heart transplant in 1988. She is way ahead, one of the most skilled, intelligent medical professionals in Cape Town. And yet, she gets deplatformed and effectively burned at the stake by the new Inquisition and crucified by the media because she dared to question the narrative. She said, the vaccine is more dangerous than the virus. You're more likely to die from the vaccine than you are to die of the virus. The virus is not scientific. It's never been tested. They don't tell you what's in the ingredients. It's like Kentucky Fried Chicken secret herb recipe. Whereas real pharmaceuticals have got listed all the different things that they've got in this, you know, mercury or whatever, other toxic substances. But here, and they'll even tell you all the contraindications, all the dangers that might happen. You know, you go for some headache tablet and it says, you know, some of the side effects that might occur are dizziness, paralysis, blindness, death. Oh, okay, that's fine. Let me take this. They call that healthcare. That's not healthcare. That's sick care. And as Dr. Fosby points out, there's nothing scientific about this vaccine. There's no open disclosure. You don't even know what's in this vaccine. It hasn't been tested. You're not allowed to know what's in it. You mustn't even question it. You mustn't ask for the studies. They haven't done all those. But you've just got to take this dangerous experimental toxin into your veins. Why? Because we say so. Because of peer pressure. Because of politics. Because of, well, you could lose your job if you don't. And so on. Not for any health reason. Not for any scientific reason. That is a violation of the Nuremberg Code. The Nuremberg Code states that no medical procedure can be performed on anyone who is unwilling. You're not allowed to bully or compel anyone to have anything mandatory in terms of medicine or experimental medicine or vaccines. That is a crime against humanity. a very serious crime. By the way, the last time they put on people on trial at Nuremberg for crimes against humanity, they all got hung. It's a very serious crime to force medical procedures on people who are not willing or who are not informed. Voluntary consent is essential. Full disclosure is essential for any medical procedure and certainly for vaccinations. And Dr. Susan Fosloo, Cape Town's own heart surgeon, she questioned the wisdom of these vaccines when so many people, especially young men, are getting blood clots, strokes, heart attacks as a result of taking the vaccine. You'd think she's just speaking in accordance with freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of association, and her own medical pledge. What is the Hippocratic Oath? To do no harm to a patient. First duty of a medical practitioner. And now Medicare and others are damning her to hell. South African Medical Council is calling her for her to be disbarred from being a doctor. Why? Because she goes against the narrative. But she's not the only one. Do you know that there are hundreds of thousands of doctors and nurses and pharmacists around the world who say the vaccine is more dangerous than the virus? Hundreds of thousands. You may not know it. You're not going to get that from Slime Magazine, Newspeak, Useless News and World Report, the Bolshevik Broadcasting Corporation, the Communist News Network, Satanic Alter Television or Evil Television. No, the world's media deceives us. They keep you quiet. They want to keep people dumb and they don't want anybody to commit a thought crime, like what I'm doing right now, where you are helping people to think critically. That's a thought crime, and like in George Orwell's 1984 book, they have thought police who punish thought crimes, and they make you an unperson, vaporize you, and you disappear down the memory hole. Is that not what Zuckerberg and his Facebook censors, fact checkers they call them, they check if there's any facts and they delete the facts because they don't want you to get the facts. They don't check. Do you think some pimply teenager sitting behind a keyboard really is qualified to check the facts of what a heart surgeon like Dr. Fosloo has been investigating and gives? And some, this was violent community. What community standards? Since when does Facebook have any community standards? They just seem to have a love of a lie and a hatred of the truth. And now some fact checker, we don't know who this fact checker is. We don't know what the qualifications of the fact checker is. But the fact checker is telling us that the doctor, the heart surgeon, is not allowed to have this unqualified opinion. Is she not qualified to speak about people's hearts? If young people are getting heart attacks and strokes and blood clots, is that not within the realm? No, apparently not. Some pimply-faced teenager who works for Zuckerberg as a fact-checking censor has said that she's committed a thought crime and should be crucified or burned at the stake or in accordance with the modern inquisitions. You know, like back in the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, with inquisitions and thought police and crucifying and inquisiting and burning at the stake in the public media, modern equivalent, for those who dared to question the narrative. Isn't it interesting that Google and Twitter and Facebook banned President Donald Trump at 34 million followers on Facebook from having a Facebook account, a Twitter account, and Google account. But they're allowing the Taliban terrorists to chopping off the heads of Christians. They are able to have Twitter, Google, and Facebook account because they don't violate community standards. I mean, they're only beheading Christians and shooting in the head woman for not wearing a veil. So, you know, they don't violate community standards. They can have a Facebook account. They can have a Twitter account. They can have a Google account. But not President Donald Trump, who had 78 million people vote for him. I mean, he's somehow not eligible for having, even though he had the most followers of any person in history, 34 million on Facebook, can you imagine? And yet, he's banned by them. This is what we're dealing with right now. We're involved in a world war of worldviews. We're seeing a war against truth. We're seeing a war against facts. We're seeing a war against the Christian faith. Do you know, during the last 18 months of lockdown, more churches have been closed than all the churches that were closed under Joseph Stalin of the Soviet Union and Mao Zedong of Red China combined. They have managed to close more churches, often with the permission, with the agreement of the church leaders, than even the communists in China and Russia and North Korea combined. Isn't that incredible? How can any church of Jesus Christ accept some politician's designation that the church is non-essential? Abortion clinics are essential. Killing babies is essential. Casinos are essential. Taxis can be packed to 150% capacity. Aircraft can be packed to 100% capacity. But churches, no. No more than 50 people and this, that, and the other. You know, who makes these rules? On what basis? Where's the science behind it? And yet you have these people who tell the church to be shut, even over Easter. Suicides are up. Depression is up. People are losing their jobs. People are losing their businesses. Economy is down. And the church must remain shut down, sidelined, and silenced. And I must say, if any minister can say that the Church of Jesus Christ is non-essential, then he's a false minister. He's a false prophet. He's a false teacher. He's a false shepherd. Any church that thinks they're non-essential maybe are non-essential. But the true Church of Jesus Christ is always essential. What higher authority is there in the world than that of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator and the Eternal Judge, the only Redeemer, the only Savior? Jesus is the resurrection and life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. We are lost. Jesus is the way. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. Jesus is the life. We are deceived. Jesus is the truth. No one comes to the Father but by him. How can there be any authority higher than that of the Creator and the Eternal Judge? Who has greater authority than the God of the Word and the Word of God? How can any government or any denomination or minister or elder board ever agree that the church is non-essential and the Great Commission should not be our supreme ambition? And the last command of Christ should not be our first concern. The Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together of one another. But a whole lot say, well, unless the government says we should. Unless Dr. Fauci says we should. And isn't this interesting? They say, trust the science. While they deplatform and silence. Vaporize, so to speak. Deplatform. Hundreds of thousands of doctors and nurses and pharmacists who say otherwise. Because they're not allowed to think that. If one of the most qualified surgeons in South Africa can be shut down for giving a medical opinion, whose opinion's safe? This is why we were standing outside Kruger yesterday making a stand, standing up for Dr. Fosloo, for freedom of speech, for freedom of conscience, for freedom of worship, for freedom of association, for freedom of movement, for all the essential freedoms which are guaranteed by the Bill of Rights. No law is valid if it violates the Bill of Rights. No law is constitutional if it violates the Bill of Rights. What we are facing right now in this country is a lockdown. Thank you. A lockdown which is unconstitutional, unnecessary, and unworkable. How can we continue to allow ourselves to be silenced and sidelined and shut down by God-hating pagans who have a Marxist agenda, a communist agenda, an anti-God agenda, where they love blasphemy and they permit pornography and allow the killing of babies through abortion, but they will not tolerate the worship of our Lord Jesus Christ in churches on Sunday morning. They will not tolerate the preaching of the Word of God. They will not tolerate counseling people in the Word of God. They will not allow open air evangelism and all the different things which are essential. And they want to force our children in our schools to wear masks all day. Why? This is child abuse. It violates the most basic requirement for good health. Fresh air. Do you know how much diseases these stupid masks carry? And if you look on the box that they sell these ear loop masks on the box it'll say, this is an ear loop mask. It provides no protection against COVID-19 or any other virus or bacteria. It says in the box. The British National Health Service, also on UK website, states, the wearing of masks provides absolutely no protection against any virus. That's that's the science. That's the medical fact. And it makes sense. In fact, there are studies that show that wearing a mask leads to far more complications and probably leads to more contracting of coronavirus in particular than anything else. How many people wash their masks after every use? Many of these masks are petri dishes for disease. They go in pockets, they go on chairs, they go on tables, they go on the floor. They get picked up, they get reused over and over and over. You touch them over and over. In fact, these masks are more likely to give people more diseases, quite aside from undermining your basic requirement for good health, which is breathing fresh air. Oxygen. You would have thought that that's pretty clear. So we're sitting in a situation where our freedoms are at stake, the truth is at stake, the church is at stake. How many churches have lost 20, 30, 40%? Some churches have lost 60% of the members. Just, well, if the church isn't meeting, what do you think is going to happen? If there's drought, the sheep trek. You're not going to stay in a place where they're not feeding the sheep. And so shutting down the churches, unfortunately, many Christians want to be nice people. We want to, you know, we give the benefit of doubt. We want to trust. And unfortunately, if we trust the wrong people, we can be deceived. There's so many warnings in the Bible, do not be deceived. But remember, all authority, all civil authority is delegated by God. All civil authority is limited. And all civil authority is accountable to God. To the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, our Lord Jesus Christ declared, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above." All authority is delegated by God. All authority is answerable to God. All authority is limited, delegated, and accountable to God. The Bible is very clear why he has established civil government. Civil government has been instituted, as Romans 13 verse 4 says, as an agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Civil governments are called to be a minister of justice. As the church is a minister of grace, the state is a minister of justice. And the same word is used in Romans 13 and in 1 Peter 2. Deacon. The state, the civil government, is to be a deacon of God, a servant of God, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. And it specifies who the wrongdoers are. Thieves, murderers, not people who don't wear a mask, or who run around an empty field, or who walk their dog, or who go to the beach when it's heat of summer, when Cyril says you're not allowed to go to the beach. You can go to the beach when it's freezing cold in the middle of winter, that's fine, but you can't go in the heat of summer when everyone wants to go. No. What is the purpose of government? To serve. To protect and to serve. To protect law-abiding citizens and to punish law-breaking criminals. But isn't it interesting? There were a lot of police at Critter Hospital yesterday to watch some peaceful protesters standing up for Dr. Susan Fosler's right to freedom of conscience and freedom of speech. But where are those police when the EFF are rioting, or when the looters are looting, or when stores are being burned, when trucks are being looted and the trucks are being burned? Where are they then? But they could move out to the beaches and to stop people walking their dogs and lockdown and, oh really? Let's get a serious idea. What is the purpose of the police? They're meant to be protecting the citizens, not harassing them. Our Lord Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And to illustrate this point, he asked for a coin. And taking the coin, he held it up and said, "Whose face and image is this on it?" And the people said, "Caesar's." And Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And so, that which has the image of Caesar, like the coin, give to Caesar's coin. And to God, what belongs to God. Children are not made in the image of Caesar. Children are made in the image of God. And children are entrusted to the parents. And the parents love and care for the children far more than the government does. Who loves our children more than the parents? Do you really believe some politician who steals billions of rands from this country every year? In fact, according to the African Union, one third of the gross domestic product of Africa is stolen by government corruption every year. One third. That's over a trillion rand, by the way, in our country, is stolen by government. Ah, bank robbers and thieves are nothing compared to what the government steals. Unbelievable. And yet, you've got people who say, "Render unto Caesar everything that Caesar wants and demands." That's not what Jesus said. "Render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God the things that are God's, which means everything belongs to God, and especially our children. Our worship is not made in the image of Caesar. Our freedoms are not made in the image of Caesar. Our conscience is not made in the image of Caesar. Our children is not made in the image of Caesar. These belong to God. Caesar has no right to command our conscience or our children. He has the right to ask for reasonable taxes, but the Bible says taxation as high as 10% is oppression. And it's forbidden for the government to tax property, to tax inheritance, or to tax full-time servants of the Lord. Why? Because the full-time servants of the Lord, including the choir who ministered in the temple, they were exempt from taxation. Why? Because they lived from the freewill offerings of the believers of the congregation. And so, the people who made a freewill offering as unto the Lord in the church, or the temple, they've already paid their taxes. Caesar has no right to demand a tax on a freewill offering given as unto the Lord. And yet we have wicked governments today who not only tax over 10% and tax property and tax inheritance, although the Bible says that a good man lays up an inheritance for his children and his children's children. But because of the teachings of Karl Marx, the original communist in the 1848 Marxist Manifesto, the taxation of inheritance and the taxation of property and the taxation of churches and the taxation of pastors and full-time servants of the Lord is part of the campaign of communists against Christianity. When I started our mission, I could go to the Bible study, and if somebody had designated 100 rand for Bibles for Angola, I could put 100 rand for Bibles for Angola. The Bible study was tax immune. The state was not allowed to charge tax on Bibles from the Bible study. Did you know that? And by the way, there used to be other items like bread and so on that was exempt from tax. Interesting. But now we even pay tax on money that's been consecrated as unto the Lord. This is theft. And God hates theft. And it's wrong. We to render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar. Not our faith. Not our worship. Not our churches. Not our children. Those things do not belong. So the way many people put to this, render unto Caesar everything he demands. And give God the coin. God gets the coin, Caesar gets everything else. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus was teaching. Jesus was saying, give Caesar a coin. And give God everything else. And this is what we should be doing. We should be recognizing that God is the ultimate authority. And all things belong to God. And the sanctity of life is a foundation for the establishment of government. The very first purpose why government was established was because man has been made in the image of God. And whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. So the first duty of government, the first priority of government is to protect the right to life. Do they do this? Do you know how many babies have been killed by abortion in this country since it was legalized on the 1st of February 1997? 1.8 million South African babies have been killed. Legally. Officially. Most of them with taxpayers' money. With our taxpayers' money that the government has put towards the killing of babies. 1.8 million South Africans have been killed. They didn't have a right to life. You can't execute murderers. They have a right to life, but you can't kill babies. A judge, a Supreme Court judge, in the calm and balance of court, cannot apply the death penalty to a serial murderer and rapist by South African law. But a teenage girl, without the knowledge or permission of her parents, can go and have an abortion. Because the right to life does not apply to babies, it only applies to guilty murderers. You can kill the innocent, but you're not allowed to kill the guilty. Just like churches must be closed, but abortion clinics must be open. Casinos can be open, but churches must not be. Do you see what's happening in the world right now? It's like the insane asylum that's being run by the inmates. The creation mandate clearly includes the right to life. What is the first command God gave man? Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on the earth. But because of the depravity of man, God requires a decentralized state with most responsibilities and powers resting on the individual and the local community. Centralization of power in a centralized government like Nineveh, Tower of Babel, Rome, Pharaoh, these are pagan tendencies. Centralization is pagan. Decentralization is biblical. And so we need to restrain the depravity of man. You cannot trust the molding of the minds of future voters to governments. You cannot trust children's education into the hands of governments. You cannot trust politicians to mold the minds of the people who will be voting later. It's a conflict of interest. Education must be hands of parents, controlled by the community, aided by the church, independent of the state. You see, power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's necessary to limit and divide powers. Checks and balances. God has instituted four levels of government. Self-government. You are meant to be governed by your conscience. The more self-disciplined you are, the less your parents need to pull you out of bed in the morning. If you get up on your own, brush your teeth, if you'll brush your own teeth, tie up your shoelace, if you can tie up your own shoelace, and so on. First government, self-government. Second government is family government. And the family has the rod of discipline. Then there's church government. The church has the keys of church discipline. And civil government is the fourth level of government. They have the sword of justice. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. What we do when we say the government, capital G, that's unbiblical. In the Bible, the government is God. What do we quote at Christmas? Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. The government is God. He governs the universe. He determines when you live and when you die and how you die. He is the one who makes the sun to rise, and he is the one who makes the seed to grow and to produce fruit. God is the government. But how many people with capital G for government and but small g for gospel? They put capital S for state and small s for savior. You see where this is going? We have idolatry going on out there. There's a lot of people deeply concerned to obey what the government says, but not so concerned to obey what God says in the Bible. Very concerned about the coronavirus, but not so concerned about sin. Let me tell you, the virus of sin is far more deadly. 100% of people die. Of all the people born, 100% are going to die. You know, life is something you won't get out of it alive. That's something we've got to bear in mind. Sin will kill 100%. It's the most deadly virus known to man. Why are people not as concerned about sin and separating ourselves from sin as they are about the coronavirus? If only people would be more concerned about cleansing their hearts as they are with sanitizing their hands. I'm all for sanitizing hands. I mean, hygiene is good. It's even taught in the Bible in Leviticus. Yes, hygiene is good. But honestly, if people would give at least as much attention to God's commands and to fighting the virus of sin. Government is to serve its citizens. The Bible says, Jesus says, the kings of the earth exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority over them, and they call themselves benefactors. But it should not be like that amongst you. He who is greatest among you should be like the youngest, and he who governs like the one who serves. And this is the reason why Christian countries have ministers. What does it mean to have a cabinet of ministers, a cabinet of servants, a prime minister, the first servant? The term comes from the biblical teaching of Christ in the Bible, in Luke 22, in Matthew 20. Governments are to be servants. And this is why in the past, cabinet ministers used to sign the letters, your humble servant. In a long time since that's happened, they're not very humble and they're not very civil and they don't serve. This is wrong. What we need to be doing is we need to be making a stand against evil. We need to be making a stand for freedom. What are we to do when the government commands evil? Well, in Exodus 1 we read that Pharaoh commanded all the baby boys to be killed. What did the midwives do? They disobeyed Pharaoh and they let the baby boys be born alive. Do they get condemned in the Bible for disobeying the government? No. In Hebrews 11, verse 23, we read that they commended by God in the hall of faith because they disobeyed the unrighteous, wicked decree of Pharaoh. When the Sanhedrin commanded the apostles not to teach in the name of Jesus, what did John and Peter say? Whether it is right in the sight of God to obey you rather than God, you judge. But we must obey God rather than man. And when the government says you're not allowed to worship, and you're not allowed to preach, and you're not allowed to gather, and you're not allowed to go out, and all these things, how do we respond? I'm a missionary. For the last 39 years, I've been a missionary to the persecuted church. I've been going into, ministered in 38 countries. I've ministered throughout Eastern Europe, from Poland in the north down to Albania in the south, and Eastern Europe in the 80s, when it was behind the Iron Curtain, smuggling into countries that are communists were persecuting. I've ministered in Mozambique and Angola back in the 80s when missionaries weren't allowed, Bibles were forbidden, when they were being severely persecuted. Ministered in the Congo, Nigeria, Sudan, where the Islamic government for bad Bibles, for bad missionaries, we had to smuggle in Bibles. I smuggled hundreds of thousands of Bibles into Islamic Sudan, into the Muslim Middle East, into the 1040 window. Do you know what Christians in the places I minister to think about a government decree that you're not allowed to worship God? You're not allowed to bring in Bibles. You can't evangelize your neighbor. You can't teach your children. Do you know how they respond? In the words of Peter, we must obey God rather than man. Do you think the persecuted church in North Korea or China says, oh, the Communist Party government says we're not allowed to gather for worship, so we better stay at home? Do you think so? Do you think the Christians in Pakistan or Saudi Arabia stop worshipping because the government tells them they can't? I can tell you on good authority, on personal experience, the persecuted church say we must obey God rather than man. It's no question to them. There's no challenge. There's no wrestling of their hearts and minds. They don't need debates on this. The last command of Christ must be our first concern. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from us. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three friends of Daniel, when everyone was commanded to bow down before the idol set up by Nebuchadnezzar on the plains of Dura, how did they respond? When everyone bowed, they stood up. They would not bow. They would not bend. They would not burn. They said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest king of the greatest empire in the world at that time, our God, whom we serve, is able to save us. Yes. And he will. But even if he doesn't, we still won't bow before your idols, nor will we serve your God. Greater is he who is in us than him who is in the world.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We must not be deceived. We must not be intimidated. We must not fear man. Fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell forever. Do not fear man. All man can do is kill you, Jesus said. And after that he can do no more. Fear God, who can destroy both body and soul in hell. We need a revival of the fear of God.
Amen.
Instead of the fear of corona.
Yes.
And the fear of fines, and the fear of disapproval, and the fear of peer pressure, and the fear of being deplatformed by our friends on Facebook, or being unfriended. Can you imagine?
Yes.
I was unfriended for something I posted on Facebook. What wimps have happened in the church? There were Christians, you read in Hebrews 11, there were people who were willing to be sawn in half and stoned to death and burned to death, crucified, upside down. But today, people are afraid of being unfriended. What do the hall of faith and all, as we told, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends? Since we have this great cloud of witnesses, in Hebrews 11 it speaks about the great cloud of witnesses, the believers in the Bible, the believers in church history. May I say the believers in the persecuted church, and they're looking to us. And they think, the church in South Africa is afraid of a virus?
No.
They're afraid to gather together to worship Christ because of a virus? They're afraid of disapproval by peer pressure? They're afraid of being unfriended by their friends on Facebook? And that keeps them at home and keeps them silent? You've got to be kidding. Is this a joke? We need to rediscover the fear of God. And then we will submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. And by the way, government is not God. Government is not all wise. They're not all knowing. They're not every present. They're not infallible. Praise God, they're not. Only our Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, is all knowing, all powerful, infallible. He is the Creator. He is the eternal Judge. And any man-made law is not in conformity to God's law as expressed in the Bible and summarized in the Ten Commandments. There's no law at all. Isaiah 8 verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And so you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This lockdown lunacy, economic suicide, economic murder, this is a violation of the most basic tenets of our Bill of Rights. Freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, freedom of worship, freedom of religion, freedom of opinion, freedom of association, freedom of movement, all these freedoms are essential. Any law that violates these is no law at all. And no state of emergency or declaration of state of disaster can ever suspend the Bill of Rights. And therefore, we've had a high court in this country determine early on in the lockdown regulations are unconstitutional, invalid. And that's why police may issue the tickets and the fines, but when you get into court with any decent kind of lawyer, the judge throws it out because it's got no force. They can't force you to wear a mask legally, not constitutionally. They can't force you to get a vaccine. They can't force all these different things. They can't override your freedom of worship and freedom of religion and so on, no matter what they call it. There is no such power and so on. But we need to understand there is a move to try and suffocate society, to stifle initiatives, to stifle our cultural institutions, our churches and our ministries. This is unprecedented, and it's so blatantly hypocritical. This is a cult. Trust in the government. Fear coronavirus. Have salvation by vaccination. Wear the masquerade to show that you believe in this cult. This is another religion, and you're not allowed to question it. They have an inquisition for you if you disagree with it. This is something that needs to be fought. 2 Timothy 2:26 says, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. In my lifetime, I've never seen anything like it. But I don't know if there's ever been anything like this in history. To paralyze so much of society, to close down so many churches, all in the name of fighting a virus. This is advancing the New World Order's globalist agenda. In Revelation 13 we read that the beast, Satan, Antichrist, the 666, will attempt to bring about a one world government with a one world economy and a one world interfaith religion. And everyone will be compelled to receive a mark. And whoever doesn't receive the mark will not be able to buy or sell. No economic activity. Does this ring any bells somewhere?
Yes.
Is anyone thinking, I wonder if there's something that could be going on outside that might correlate to this? You have to receive a mark, or you won't be allowed to buy or sell, in our case, travel, and things like that. It doesn't matter what they want us to do. It doesn't matter what mark they want us to receive. The biblical principle is no. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set you free. Do not allow yourselves to be enslaved again by a yoke of bondage. We are not slaves of Pharaoh. Why do we want to wear a mark of bondage? Why do we want to be subject to those who hate God? No, it's irresponsible. It's dehumanizing. Do you know why they put masks over the faces of people about to be shot in a firing squad? Not because they're concerned about the person about to shoot. I mean, they obviously don't care about him. But an obscured face, dehumanized target, makes it easier for those in a firing squad to shoot them. Masks are designed not for your health, they're designed primarily as a sign of your submission. Which is why Muslim women in the Middle East have been forced, compelled, for ages, to wear veils to obscure their faces. It is a sign of submission, it's a dehumanizing factor. And think of these poor little children born in the last 18 months, not seeing the faces of the adults. They don't yet have language, most of it is body language and facial expressions. The damage being done to children, forcing children to wear masks or having adults around them wearing masks. This is wrong. 500 years ago, Professor Martin Luther of the Reformation warned, if I profess with the loudest voice and the clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God's word, except precisely that point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I'm not professing Christ. However boldly I may be professing him. For Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. And to be steady on all the battlefront besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point. No government has the right to interfere in the cultural mandate or the Great Commission. Civil governments have greatly overreached themselves. They've exceeded their authority when they infringe on essential activities of employers and employees, economic or agricultural enterprises, or the fulfillment of the Great Commission and the cultural mandate. We must obey God rather than man. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Greater is he who is in us than him who is in the world. Fear God, do not fear man. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set us free, and do not allow yourselves to become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let us pray. Lord God, we want to thank you, we want to praise you for the liberty we enjoy in Christ Jesus. You have set us free from the bondage of sin and Satan and the devil, the world. Lord, forgive us for allowing ourselves to be deceived or distracted or defeated or derailed by this world system. Lord God, we pray, help us to fear you and to fear you wholeheartedly and to fear you alone and not to fear man. Lord God, we pray, help us to love you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, and to love our neighbour as ourselves, enough to reach out to our neighbours with the gospel of Christ. Lord, you are the only all-knowing, infallible, all-powerful, all-wise God. Forgive us, Lord God, when we look to government for that which can only come from you. Our life and our health is in your hands. Our eternity is in your hands. We pray, Lord God, to help us to communicate with our friends and neighbor and family members words of sanity and logic to bring them back to their feet and to get back into your word and not to continue to allow themselves to be deceived and distracted by this world system, by this world's disinformation, by the fake news of the world. Thank you, Lord God, for the privilege we have of being your sons and your daughters, your servants and your soldiers. Make us more brave and bold for you. Make us more faithful to your word, we pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.